Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're joined by an incredible bloke who's basically run a marathon in every country in the world.
I know, amazing guy. Nick Butter, you'll hear from him. And yeah. Simon Brodkin, the comedian, as himself.
That's right, he was on good form. He came in and a bit of stuff from us as well. Here it all is. Past 1. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. I did watch the second half of that game. I picked the wrong half, really.
Yeah. Well, they were better second half, England.
Were they?
Yeah. God. Yeah. I watched a bit of it. It was they did, conceding 2 goals to the Czech Republic. Not great.
Not good there. Part time, isn't it? It was very Christmassy scene though. Very snowy and. Yeah. But I just think with women's football, it's going to get better. It's going to improve in this sense, but you do get these patches where you get like a very good, the same as we found in the summer, technically good, you know, great to watch, and then suddenly it's technically completely inept, you know, and look like they've never even played.
To be honest, there's quite a lot of men's football like that.
I suppose
as well.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I've seen plenty of technically inept men's football over the years.
So I did enjoy some nice swearing from Rachel Daly, who caught at the end there. It's quite sure.
Well, that's the thing, when there's no one in the ground, there's only a couple of hundred there, the weather was terrible, wasn't it? So, and you could hear most of the things the players were shouting.
But just some odd things. I mean, Casey Stoney was pretty critical of the way England played, which obviously she knows a lot more about it than I do. And she made the point, I could see Jill Scott look like she was struggling, she looked tired, and he didn't sub her. And I thought that was a bit of an odd move as well. Yeah. But there you go. Look, they'll carry on, and you know, the Olympics will be very important for him. If they don't have a good Olympics, then it will be difficult.
Yeah.
We shall see now. What else have we got now? We've got...
what else? I mean, what did you watch in the absence of that, apart from women's football? Did you normally? Because if there's no football on, you have to find alternatives.
Yeah, I mean...
Neighbours Marathon, was it?
One of Ali Ross's picks at the moment is this Japanese... English co-production called Jiro Haji. Have you seen it? It's good.
I've not seen it.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. Neighbours, I watched it, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course you did.
And a new Neighbours spin-off, Erinsborough High.
Oh, come on. That's for the kids, surely, isn't it?
Is.
That's kid. You're watching kids' telly.
I like a bit of kids' telly.
Did Erinsborough High is a kind of spin-off just focusing on the school in the area,
yes,
is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And what? So, well, that's a... Is it any good?
Yes, it's all right. It's not as good as the real thing. But
well, OK, you're not the target audience, are you?
Big news from Max Rushton, though, on Twitter today, that Carl and Susan's house in Neighbours is actually for sale, the real house.
Is he going to buy it?
Well, I think they're thinking of crowdfunding to buy it and preserve it.
It's quite weird, because when I went over there, they obviously they've got the studios where they make the show, but they've also got the kind of Ramsey, it was a bit like when Brookside was on, they've got the Ramsey Street equivalent. And it is just a suburban street, and so people are living in the streets on either side, effectively.
No, absolutely.
And they just use the houses down there, because we went past and they're filming most of the time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, do you see that
Neighbours there?
Granit Xhaka, Milan want to sign him, and it's down to Ivan Gazidis, who bought him for Arsenal. You think, plum, you'd want to sign him twice. It's not good, is it, really? Yeah. Surely, having signed him once, has he been a complete... Well, has he been a complete flop? He hasn't been a massive success.
No.
I'm not sure I'd sign him
again.
He
cost a lot of money. I'm surprised how much he cost Arsenal when it came down to it. An awful lot of money.
And now, apparently, I'm reading today, the FA want to get involved and fine Sterling. Yeah, I'll leave it alone, honestly.
No, I think that's enough already.
You wouldn't blame if you wanted to pack it in or take... I had this idea that you'd take Montenegrin citizenship and turn out for them tomorrow night. quick off to the embassy.
Yeah, it might. I think that might FIFA. Well, they are quite flexible, FIFA. If there's something in it for them, you never know.
And I've always been fascinated by the hair of deposed Bolivian leader Evo Morales.
Wow, how often have I said that, Andy, over the years?
I've got a song. His hair is a hat. His hair is a hat. Evo Morales. His hair is a hat.
Is it really?
It is.
I've never seen it. In what way is it a hat? In what sense is it a hat?
It looks like a hat.
Okay, yeah,
made
could
out
do
of
a,
hair.
Could do him a little bit more than that. Well, like, it's like a peak cap.
No, it's sort of.
Has he got like
I'd
a quiff?
More a beanie. A beanie made out of hair.
Okay, well, I'll look him up, Andy.
Look him up.
I would think you've caught most of the TalkSport listeners out. If you're going to do observational material, at least hand out a leaflet
know,
or
I just
put a picture
say,
up on
I,
social
I know,
media.
I should have done, really. Yeah. And John Burke has signed a big new book deal. Have you seen that? The ex-speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I do hope it contains a handy guide on how to get free tickets for Wimbledon.
Well, yeah.
That'd be very useful.
Would like that. What's this fella called?
Evo Morales.
Evo Morales. Okay, let's have a look at his barnet. It's oh, blimey, yeah.
His hair is a hat.
Yeah, I know you mean now. Yeah, like, his hair is a hat. It's like a busby. It's like a small busby, isn't it? That the Coldstream Guards would wear.
Why not?
It's an interesting look.
It'd
be great if he was a football manager. Yeah, go and check it out. It's a tremendous look.
It's a bit of a Richard Madeley situation.
Kind of.
Over the years. Yeah. Or John
Major. He looks like one of these blokes who gets parachuted in at the last minute to take on one of the nations in the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, he does.
A kind of long, you know, one of the minor African nations sack their manager with 20 minutes before the first game. And this bloke, this Bolivian coach, they save him from the Bolivian second division. And he's parachuted in a bloke you've never heard of. And he gets into the semi-final. He's got that look about him,
he
isn't
is
he?
A bit.
Yeah.
There's
quite
a
detailed,
survey.
That, wasn't
it? Was, very. There's a survey that Brits lose their temper 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
But calm down after 35 minutes. So, basically, Gareth should have just waited 35 minutes. It would have been fine.
Yeah, he could have. You're about 3 times an hour most of the time, aren't you, really?
Not really.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We turn now to running and then some. 196 marathons, one in every country in the world that has a marathon. And Nick Butter joins us once again. Good to see you, Nick. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm exhausted.
I would imagine you are.
You look well.
Thanks. I know everyone says that, and I really don't feel it.
It's
I feel like
tan,
I need about 3 months to lie down.
Yeah,
yeah. The tanning will help.
So tell us how you kind of took this challenge on then.
One foot in front of the other.
It's the only way, isn't it?
I was inspired by a brilliant guy called Kevin Webber. I was running out with him in the race MDS, Marathon de Saab, in the Sahara Desert. Really great race. And he and I got chatting, and he was one of these incredibly smiley people. And then he dropped this bombshell on me that he has terminal prostate cancer. Knew nothing about it at the time. And I thought, you know what? This man's means business. He's smiling, he's happy. What's the connection there? Why is he so happy? He's been told he's going to die. And then he kind of taught me all of these messages, and he ultimately inspired me to create this trip to try and raise some money for Prostate Cancer UK. And everybody can donate right now on the Just Giving page, justgiving.com/runningtheworld. And I decided to do something that nobody had ever done before, run a marathon in every single country in the world.
How did you train for this? I mean, other than just run, I suppose that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Rack up the miles.
Absolutely. Yeah, time on feet. Try and get as much time on your feet as you can, do the mileage. I was a runner, obviously, already because I was racing, and my distance is over marathon distance, so being able to do 3 or 4 marathons back to back, but this was very different because actually it's the travel and the logistics, and you know, being on a plane, it's just full of germs, and so trying to keep yourself healthy and fit and not be shot at and not, you know, all this kind of stuff, which happens. Every country in the world is not particularly safe in some places.
Were these established marathons in different countries, or did you just run the marathon distance?
Yeah, we took a decision at the beginning to try and to not prioritise organised events because a couple of reasons. A, because I've done a load. I've done nearly 600.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I don't really want to do it. And also, I'd have to get there a day early to pick up my bib, and then that was going to add a 9 months to my journey.
Wow.
And I thought, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that because somebody can come along and break my record if they want. So it was basically 3 marathons a week, 2 and 2.5 a week on average. Sometimes it was 5, sometimes it was back-to-back, and sometimes it was just the one.
Does it ever get any easier when you're doing those kind of distances? Do you ever think, oh, I'm right in the zone now, halfway through my third marathon of the week?
You know what? It does.
Really?
And it was the middle stage. I remember I had my second phase of Africa because we alternated Africa and Europe. And I found it so much easier because your body's just used to it. And then as you have 3 or 4 days off, and then it's really tough to come back to it because your body's so tired. But yeah.
What about planning the routes? I presume you had to do that to pick the 26 miles, 385 yards, whatever it is, every time. That must have taken a bit of doing as well, a bit of planning.
Yeah, the actual routes, I didn't do any planning.
Just set out, good morning, here I am, I'm going to run 26 miles. How did you know you'd run 26 miles?
You got your GPS on your watches, you do a little bit of a recce. And at the beginning, that was the plan, just go out and run and get the job done. Because it's such, you know, so quick, you land at midnight, you're up at 5 in the morning, you run, you pack your bag, you leave the next day. You know, for 2 years, it's full on.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have people to run with, and they'll organise it for me. I had a brilliant tour guide in Israel, like, 6-7 days ago, and he knew everything. And so he toured me around with a group of 10 people, and they measured the distance too. And yeah, I have to get witnesses for Guinness World Records and all sorts of stuff.
Must have made some good friends around the world doing this, I would think.
I did meet some great friends. Yeah. One of my favourite stats of the whole journey is I've added 2,411 contacts to my phone for people that I have, they're genuine people from all over the world that want to keep in contact with me. And I tell you what, just talking about Prostate Cancer UK, I've had 6 emails, these specific 6 emails that have come back from me, because I've talked to taxi drivers, air hostesses, whatever. And these people have come back to me and said, after our chat with you, my chat with you, I went and got checked for prostate cancer and I had prostate cancer.
Wow.
You know, and so this isn't just about raising the money, it's about talking about it, because I think everybody knows that there's a big stigma about talking about prostate cancer and there shouldn't be. And so all of these people hopefully will now go and tell other people, and eventually we'll stop those men dying.
Have you been for a run since you got back?
No, because you've been keeping me busy, you guys. Media has been too busy. Yeah. Literally, I haven't had any sleep. I've just been back to
Do you
to
have
back.
To detrain? You know that thing where you have to
kind of decompress a bit?
Yeah.
Mentally, okay. Absolutely. I think it hasn't happened yet. I haven't really got to that point because it's still in a flurry.
Yeah, yeah. That's exciting.
Do you listen? Do you want to take everything in, or do you listen to something when you're running? Music? Books? What do you do?
Books is what... I don't really do music because after once you've had 5 or 6 hours of running, kind of your music's done. I like to listen to speaking, and I like to listen to books, loads of books. I think I've got through 90-something books in the 2 years, but I didn't read a single word, which is quite good.
That's amazing.
Books is good, kind of zone out. But then other times, it's constant chatting to people. I had 1,000 kids I ran with in El Salvador.
Wow.
So there's no books on that run.
Yeah, so where were some of the best memorable places when you look back? Where are the sort of top five, and for what reason? You mentioned the kids in El Salvador.
To be honest, the reason, the whole trip can be encapsulated with the word people. Like, people are what make this journey amazing. And I hope, I hope those people will be inspired by what I've done. So I ran around an erupting volcano in Guatemala, which is pretty cool. Obviously, doing the usual, swimming with turtles, dolphins, sharks, etc. And I guess some of the lowlights, because there's a few of them.
Yeah.
I was attacked and bitten by dogs, which wasn't very nice, and I had to go for some jabs. I got mugged.
Where was that? Which country was that?
That was Tunisia.
Okay.
Tunisia.
Mugged at knife point.
Mugged at knife point. Nigeria, Lagos Market. Got hit by a car, broken elbow, 22 marathons with food poisoning, had kidney infection for 3 weeks. Lots of,
You are an Iron Man, aren't you? It's incredible.
I think I'm just a bit of a silly person more than anything.
Yeah, you need
getting
something else.
And, it's good, man. And this whole thing is obviously to raise some money for the charity.
You must have raised quite a lot of money. I know you want to raise more, but you must have done pretty well already.
And you mentioned your friend Kevin earlier on, and you ran alongside him in Athens, didn't you?
I know. I'm so pleased you mentioned that. It was such a great feeling. You know, when I mentioned to Kev after a few weeks of meeting him, I said, I'm going to do something silly to raise some money. And then he said, you know what, once you come back from that trip, because I mentioned what I was doing, and he said, I'll try and promise to be there at the finish. And I said, can you make that promise? And he said, actually, the reality is no, I will probably be dead. And that's the sad reality of prostate cancer. And amazingly, he was there. So he was diagnosed and he was told he would live for potentially only 2 years. And he's now in 5 years and 6 days since his diagnosis, which is incredible.
Yeah, brilliant.
And honestly, I'm so desperate to get people out there to get checked. So any man that is over 50 needs to go and get themselves checked. Doesn't matter if you have symptoms or not. And Also, if you're not a man or over 50, the chances are you know somebody that is. So go out there and get it done. And donate, please. Pretty please, because I really want to hit this target.
Yeah, where are you at the moment?
So on Just Giving, we're coming up to 75 grand, but we've had a few offline. So I think we're just under 100 with everything, but right. We're trying to get to 250. And so we're still a way off. So just £1.50, it's justgiving.com/runningtheworld, or on my Instagram, actually, because you can see all of the photos and the videos, which is Nick Butter Run.
I just want to know, did you go from country to country, or did you go sort of El Salvador back to Britain, then on to somewhere else? How did you do this?
Country to country, yes. Well, so yeah. I was on the road for two years, or 22 months, but I had to pop back to the UK occasionally because I had to pick up a new passport.
Right,
I've
gone
through 10.
Wow.
In 2 years.
That's incredible. What a trip. And extremes of weather as well, I'm reading here.
Crazy weather, plus 60 in Q8, yeah.
Oh dear. And the coldest you ran in?
Minus 25, which was my first one, a shock in Toronto, Canada.
Wow, wait.
Yeah, that was snowy.
Presumably easier running in the cold than in the heat.
I don't like being cold. I think most people would say that. But no, I much prefer to run in the heat. And it's a lucky thing, because I tell you what, I've learned that the rest of the world is blooming hot.
Yeah. And you've got more plans to do stuff.
I have. Well, so the immediate thing is to get the book out. I will say the book is available to pre-order now on Waterstones and Amazon, Running the World. But also, I'm doing a big speaking tour next year.
Oh, okay, excellent.
I basically want to get kids in the same mindset as how Kevin taught me, is that, you know, yes, education is important and degrees, etc., and jobs, but also just try and enjoy yourself and see the world. So I'm touring around a couple of hundred venues in the UK and Europe. And if anybody wants to have me along to speak, I don't mind giving my email out. It's nick@nickbutter.co.uk. nick@nickbutter.co.uk. And I've got loads of souvenirs. I have 3 big A0 boards full of my luggage tags, and my parents are currently, right now as we speak, actually pinning them to the board, going through my literally wardrobes full of souvenirs over the last couple of years. So yeah, I'm hoping that kids will enjoy that.
Brilliant. Nick, lovely to see you again. Well done.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And keep in touch. Come and see us again.
I will do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Making a welcome return to the studio is comedian Simon Brodkin. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon, both of you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, you were in with, you say you were in the other week on Breakfast, weren't you? You said you did a stint with Alan.
If TalkSport asked me to do something, I will be here.
Yeah.
You should have showered Alan with fake money like you did with Seth Blatter. That would be marvellous.
What did he make of your pranks, Alan?
I think he was a bit confused by the whole thing.
Really?
No. He was good. He was supportive. I think he thought I was a bit of a lunatic. But then got it and appreciated it and was encouraging to keep it going.
Oh, right. I mean, because you are touring at the moment as yourself, 100% Simon Brodkin. So you're not, no Lee Nelson, no Jason Bent. It's just you. So is the plan still to kind of do that stuff, to do the kind of stuff you did with Sepp and others, the kind of pranks? So do you still want to keep those going?
Once a pranker, always a pranker.
Yeah, as people at my school used to say.
That was me, isn't it? Well, the pranks were kind of, they kicked off really as Lee with the DVD launch in HMV, nicking my own DVD, and then real coppers got involved. I'm like, you can't arrest me if it's my own DVD, officer. And then it moved into sort of some Jason stuff, joining the players on the pitch, the City players.
Going, yeah, oh,
me and my agent told me I'd sign for the club, what's going on? And I think a few of the squad were like, they have just got someone, people are coming in every week. So
well, Watford, you might have got away with it. Well, you've got a bit more of a turnover of players. Yes, exactly. It might have worked.
Well, I still think I should have gone to Brazil with the Roy Hodgson squad, to be honest.
Yeah, you were already.
That was the
recognition, because people had seen, you could see some of the England boys when you were standing there in your suit waiting to get on the plane. They knew you were, and they weren't prepared to say anything. Let's see if it would go before anybody found out.
Let's give them 20 minutes and see if we can improve. No, but that was one where I went along and I was in, I was in the suit, thanks to M&S, who made it
the official England suit.
I'll have one of them.
Yeah,
and I'll have an official England haircut, an official England. You know, so I went along, and no one noticed me. So I was there, about to board the plane. I'm like, well, this is. I don't want to actually go to Brazil.
How far would you have gone?
The semi-finals. And I was like, I was about to board this plane and go, but hang on, if I'm on the plane and that's when I go. It's a joke, lads. Really, I've just got, what, they're going to tie me to the seat?
Well,
they probably
would have had an emergency stop somewhere and it would have got quite expensive for you. So, you do weigh those up. When you're in the moment like that, obviously, you're thinking, the adrenaline must be pumping, mustn't it?
Adrenaline's going, but you're thinking, can I do it? And there's so many things that cross your mind. That's when people ask you, when I do the Donald Trump stuff, were you worried about being shot? Well, in hindsight, yes, but at the time, you're just thinking, can I do this? Am I going to be able to do it? And then afterwards you go, oh, that was probably a bit stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you talk about these in
so
your
yes,
show?
The show, the stand-up show, which is me not doing characters and not doing stunts. I'm not stunting the people in the theatre. Okay. Okay, so I'm not falling for this. I buy a ticket, turn up, he's not going to be there. So the show is me out of character doing stand-up, and I took it to Edinburgh Festival and it went down a treat there. And then this is the show is me talking about the world and talking about my take on things as stand-ups do. And one of the things that I do talk about is one of the stunts, actually the Donald Trump stunt, not because I want it to be like an evening with, let me tell you about the time I evaded 7 different layers of security, but it is because it's a funny story, with the Scottish police swooping in and Donald Trump, he was before the US elections and he came to Scotland to sort of carry on his campaign and open up a golf course, as you do. And I interrupted and you look, check out on YouTube as to what
you
I
can
did.
See what he did.
Golf ball related. The Scottish police swooped in and arrested me and cuffed me, and they chucked me in the back of a van. I sat there pretty scared for about an hour until this big burly armed officer pulls open the van door and says, "Use me." Are very, very funny. and it went on from there. And I talk about that. But A, it's funny, and B, people are quite interested in it. Also, because out of it came this torrent of hate from the Trump supporting KKK.
So that
is interesting. That's genuinely, what happened after that.
What's the one that people, when they see you, so they ask you about the pranks, which is the one they come back to? What's the one they remember most?
Well, funnily enough, Theresa May never mentioned that one to me at all.
She's like, what?
Could that not... Surely that one's your favourite, Theresa. No, it depends. So I think sports fans will always love the Sepp Blatter one. If you're interested in... Labour supporters will always love the Sir Philip Green one. Keeping it real. Doing one
the thing
the
about
people.
The Sepp Blatter one is it was so kind of prescient, and you kind of knew, well, the moment you did it, everybody said the same thing, that this is going to be the defining image of the Sepp Blatter years, that shot we always see of the money kind of floating around.
Yes.
It's become this kind of image. Stock.
It's a good picture,
shot.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's part of history, Simon. Now, isn't
I'm not dead yet, people. Simon Brodkin, history. Yeah. No, it was a fun moment. And afterwards, of course, well, first of all, him looking at all the money was, obviously tempting to grab stuff out the air, like on the Crystal Maze. They were like, and then he afterwards just looked at all this money with the FIFA backdrop and had the brilliance of saying, we have to stop this conference. This has nothing to do with football.
Well,
you say that
exactly.
Yeah. Everything to do with it.
And then we both chucked out the room like two little naughty kids and had a bit of banter with Sepp afterwards, where he was like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, if one of us here should be ashamed of ourselves.
It's you. We share something in common looking at your press release, because it says that during the show you take us from your childhood growing up on the mean streets of Hampstead Gardens.
Oh, yes.
That's
I grew up on the mean
streets.
It was tough.
There's very few survivors, so good to see someone who's made it through. The Hampstead Garden suburb, people don't know, it is middle class. It's sort of very ask a kid there what's four class. Times four, they will say Range Rover. This is what we are dealing with.
Yeah, it's and Andy once, we went out with Frank Skinner, who was in earlier this week actually, and Andy was driving, which is a fairly hellish experience on his own.
Really.
But Frank,
that's because he's so used to having to speed through the streets of Hampstead Garden suburb.
I was frightened.
And Annie said, "Oh, that's my old house." And me and Frank went, "Wow, really? Blimey, it's like had pillars and everything. See? It was a sensation.
Really?
Lions?
Yes.
So your things have gone worse.
Money. Oh, yeah, it was money. Something went badly wrong.
I've been working my way downwards ever since.
I don't know if this is a talk sport secret, but he sleeps in the studio. I don't know.
He sleeps under that desk. It's a bit embarrassing when they come and do sports bar at 10 o'clock at night, or Alan has to come in and kick him. Wake up, Jacobs. Wake up. Get up. Go and get a wash.
That's incredible.
So, but this is you as yourself. Telling sort of kind of laid bare. Was that difficult at first?
Totally difficult at first. My whole time on stage has been in character, so just stepping out of that was it's hard. At first it was harder than any stunt I've done, just going, got to be me. You know, how's that work? And of course, as a stand-up, the whole point is you make it look easy. You know, no one wants to watch a stand-up going, bloody hell, this is difficult. He's making this look as hard as it is here. So it's getting relaxed and comfortable as oneself, and that is this pro. And I guess, look, all the best stand-ups, and to be a good stand-up takes, you know, there's this perfect amalgam of being comfortable in yourself, and what you say reflects who you are, and yada yada yada. So basically it was hard, especially with banter, because Lee is harsh, he's caustic. If someone fires back something at you, then, you know, Lee goes in hard and everyone loves that. But then there's this understanding with the audience that I didn't quite understand at first few gigs. I was tearing into people and people go, you can't say that. And I was like, but I have been for 10 years and everyone's loving it. But
that's
because,
interesting.
You're
because
hiding
it's
behind
not
all
real,
behind the character,
there's
of course.
A sort of a contract with the audience where they go, you can get away with so much more. Forgive me for the few people who I grossly offended in those first six gigs.
So tomorrow night you're at the Leicester Square Theatre in London.
Friday night. You can come tomorrow, there will be queues, but that's pushing it.
Early, sleep outside, bring a sleeping bag,
obviously. Andy will be there.
It's
Friday night, it's Leicester Square Theatre. It is the first day of my Monster UK tour as myself, called 100% Simon Brodkin, and there's the proper tour out of London starts off in February, and SimonBrodkin.com and all the dates and the tickets there. It's exciting for me.
Brilliant. Okay, Simon, lovely to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks very much. Someone, Charlie the cabbie's asking, was Vanessa Feltz your neighbour in Hampstead Garden suburb, Andy?
Not that I'm aware of. She may well have been.
Simon, you? Was she with you?
The houses next door are so far away, one doesn't know who
was. Oh, of course, you don't know if you get a cab.
I don't know. Was there anyone living next door to me?
It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You may have seen the fine system instigated by Frank Lampard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over the place. I think it's perfectly acceptable, but then...
Yeah, I think most football clubs have them, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I've instigated a similar system here at TalkSport, and I've just picked up $7,500 from our producer, Jamie, for being half an hour... He's not listening to this. For being half an hour late on Monday.
Oh, okay.
I had to give him the notes on the phone.
Yeah, because, I mean...
In the street, walking.
I doubt if Frank Lampard actually cares whether your trains are delayed or not.
No.
I suppose that's true. The players have got no excuse, have they, really?
Well, they're expected there should to, be an excuse,
if there's
really
bad traffic, you're expected to... Did you see that per minute fine for being late is quite hefty?
That's how I racked up $7,500
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Jamie.
Late for team meetings, £500 per minute. Yeah. What about that?
Not bad. Yeah, pretty decent. Yeah. Now, some very exciting...
You'd have a problem, wouldn't you? A phone ringing during team meeting or meal. You're thinking, oh, actually, it's not been going off as much these days.
No,
It's
the opposite. It's always on silent.
You found the volume button.
Okay, yeah. No problem. A reader's offer today. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
It's the Farrah trousers, only £19.99. Top quality tailor, but this is...
Farrah, is it spelled in...
It's trademark Farah.
It's a proper Farrah trouser, sir.
But the great news is the new waist sizes, 50 to 64.
Wow.
64.
Fantastic. 64, yeah, wow.
64 inch. That is actually double... I mean, I'm quite a big...
In terms of the amount of material, that's incredibly good value for money, isn't it?
Yeah, you should pay more for 64.
Pay yardage once you go over a certain size.
You should do, really.
It's a bit stoutish, that, Andy, but
well,
there we are.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, that does certainly make a bargain, doesn't it?
Very, very much so, yeah, tremendous. Yeah.
Have you seen this? The milk round is on its way back. More people are using the old milky. People are buying cassettes.
Oh,
they're using the milkman. It can't be long before we go back to a three-day week, can it, surely?
Well.
And this is a company called Starship, a technology startup. They're based in London, and they have this week launched the world's first robotic milk round. They're doing Milton Keynes. Obviously, they've got
a
milk. Yeah. And 6-wheeled electric-powered robots can operate within a 4-mile radius and travel around 10 miles before recharging.
I know what you're going to ask, though.
Well, this is the thing. You can't go out to a robot and say, do you do eggs, mate?
Do you do orange juice?
You got any orange juice? You can't do that with a...
Ridiculous.
And it's not the same. Can the robot whistle?
No.
Because the old Milky was always great at whistling. That was the thing. You'd wake up to...
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no determinate song. It would be an amalgam of 3 or 4 classics.
That's true.
That they would whistle. And they'd often be quite tuneful whistlers. I often wondered if the people at Unigate insisted they went through some kind of whistling masterclass before they got the gig.
Now, I don't know if you're thinking of moving it.
By the way, before Simon Brodkin left, Andy and Simon were comparing the roads they lived on in Hampstead. And Simon said his road, and Andy went, oh, yeah, yeah.
You're
a
class warrior, that's why you're doing this.
And he said, what about you? And Andy said the road he lived on, and Simon went, whoa. Just as me and Frank Skinner did, honestly, a castle. It's probably owned by Sultan of Brunei now.
I did hit straightened circumstances when I was about 26. It changed my life. It was it was actually the best
thing ever. Magwitch turned it round for you, didn't he?
It was the best thing that ever happened to me, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. That's a whole other story. I'll save that for the book. What book?
Your book. Who's going to ghost that? Mike Parry. I want Mike Parry to write your autobiography.
I first met Andy Jacobs.
Andy Jacobs. I cannot remember. I may have had a glass of wine. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I remember saying to him, so it's not about you, Mike, it's about me, but don't worry about it. Good old Mike. Now, as I say, I don't know if you're thinking of moving at any point in the next 9 months or so.
No.
But the best time to sell a house is 1:51 p.m. on a sunny Wednesday in March. Isn't that a bit specific?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Oh, it's 1:52. I'm done.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't. That's, we're never going to shift it now. And the clouds have just come over. Where'd that come from? That's ridiculous, pointless research, isn't it?
Privilege Insurance, the good people from there, they said a study found sellers buy flowers, turn up the heating, get rid of pets, and bake bread to entice buyers.
Okay.
Which would be a miracle, because I don't know how to bake bread, so I don't think I'll be doing that. But there you go. But I'm not even thinking of moving.
Okay.
So, that was that. What else have I got here? Oh, yes, I didn't really understand this, actually. This John Etheridge, he's a great writer, and he's a wonderful
cricket writer for the
Sun. But I think sometimes this expression is used, but it doesn't really work in this case. He says, Dom Sibley did exactly and superbly what it says on his tin, as he scored a century. He hasn't got a tin. He's not Ron Seal Sibley. Dom Seal Sibley. I think people have forgotten what that expression means.
He's stretched it, hasn't he? He does exactly what he says on his tin. I mean, I'm with you, Andy, on this. I'm not really the kind of that pedantic on things, but what are you doing, John, for goodness sake,
on his tin?
Well, he's in New Zealand, he can't hear us. It'll get back to him, though.
And 6,500 people still have black and white TV. So I was thinking, do they only receive old programmes? Like they get old Match of the Day on Saturday night with Kenneth Walston. I've no idea. It's a strange idea, that, isn't it? I suppose the licence is cheaper. And
Arsene Wenger's back in work. You see,
I thought you were going to say Arsene Wenger's got a black and white TV.
Yeah, he probably has. He loves watching the old matches. He's been unveiled today, and this may not be breaking news, but I'll bring it to you anyway. He's FIFA's new chief of global football development.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good job for him.
There's a picture of him with Infantino, all smiles.
Is it ambassadorial or is it?
No, it says he'll be chiefly responsible for overseeing and driving the growth and development of the sport for both men and women around the world. You're racking up there. Sounds like a good gig, that, doesn't it, really?
Nice gig,
he will also be the leading authority on technical matters, both as a member of the football and technical advisory panels involved in the IFAB's reviews. We're going to have a word with David Ellery, Arsene, and sort that out.
That's what it needs. I mean, definitely somebody like
that. So there we are. He's very excited. He said, I'm very much looking forward to the extremely important challenge. And Infantino said his profound knowledge and passion for the different aspects of the game sets him apart as one of the most respected personalities in football. So there's no reason to think that he cannot do a football management job, but that sounds like a pretty all-encompassing role. So, there we are. Arsene Wenger back in work, courtesy of FIFA.
That's got to be good news.
Anything else?
Not really.
That's it, really. You're scraping the barrel. Your wife threw away your barrel scrapings, didn't she,
actually?
She threw away some of... She's got an eye for gags that don't work, clearly, in a way that you haven't. She looked at him and thought, he's not doing that on the radio, I'm going to burn it.
Well, I was fascinated by this, because you're a man who absolutely... I'd almost say obsessed with the weather. You are. You like to know what the weather's going to be. You'll say to me at times, in the past month, you've said to me things like, it's going to be raining in 13 minutes.
Well, it's only because I've got this app, which kind of gives you far too much information. Yeah.
I know. But this, I don't think this is as good as your app, but apparently joint pain really can help people forecast the weather.
Yeah.
So apparently not as accurate as yours.
What I can tell you is where we're currently sitting, there will be no precipitation for 120 minutes.
Oh, good.
So that's got to be good news all round, doesn't it?
Well, we're on our way, aren't we, after the show?
After sunny Manchester. Live from Manchester
cold
tomorrow.
Manchester, I checked myself.
Yeah, it's looking a bit chilly up there. But we're going to be at the National Football Museum. We're going to be having a good look round. Andy, this comes in from one of the listeners. As somebody who used to buy size 64 trousers, you do have to pay more. I used to get my suits made in Hong Kong and the tailor would give me a price. I'd ask for a discount and he'd look me up and down disparagingly and say no.
Wow.
Thank you for that one. So we've got Tim Vickery coming in shortly.
That is a big trouser, a 64.
Yeah, it's great. I do like the word trouser singular, because it's only used by people like you that are in the menswear trade.
Right, yeah.
That's a lovely trouser that there. So when you try them on, what are you, 32 waist and all that sort
like
of thing?
That, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're live tomorrow from the National Football Museum in Manchester. Lots of special guests. We'll be having a good look round the exhibition too, ahead of England's 1,000th game. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.